Yo, what's going on, everybody? This your boy Urs Mac, the mad scientist, and this is the Orange Phoenix Morning Show. How you guys doing? And especially in the absence of Detroit Blue and Boogie Blue. They had some prior engagements, they had some other assignments they had to work on here and there, but I'm here to give you the latest and greatest to get your week started on this fresh Taco Tuesday. Yes, you already know, today is Taco Tuesday, and I hope you guys are going out to get the finest of tacos. You ought to know me. I'll go out and get my tacos every now and again. It's been a while. It's been about a month or so since I got a good taco, so I might go out there and get me a taco or two after this show. But we will see. But wait, man, we're going to jump right into it. As you already know, a lot of things have been coming down the turnpike as far as wrestling is concerned. Of course, you know, Sting made his debut on AEW, and he signed a multi-year deal with AEW. There was 1,000 fans that was in attendance at Daly's Place, but those 1,000 fans sound like 5,000 to 10,000 people. Like, it was crazy. It was nuts. The snowfall, the effects on him coming out. We had someone from the Geek Corner commented saying, like, what if Sting came out at 97 Starrcade and with that snowfall? It would have been like epic. I would have been all over that. A very, very good entrance by Sting, and a very good job by AEW by keeping this thing a secret. There was a lot of speculation that Sting was actually going to show up on AEW because his contract has ended with WWE. But lately, WWE has been mentioning contracts ending, and then all of a sudden, you see those same performers show back up on WWE television. So I wasn't completely sold that Sting was going to go over to AEW. I wasn't sure because I noticed that when Sting finally signed with WWE, there was two DVD sets released, which I bought, and there was a lot of merchandise, and Sting was an exclusive with the WWE 2K series. So, you know, as far as that goes, he's been treated pretty well on that aspect. Now, there's one thing that he really, really wanted above all that, and that was a one-on-one match with The Undertaker at WrestleMania. The fans wanted it, other wrestlers wanted it, Sting wanted it, Undertaker wanted it, but somehow, some way, Vince McMahon didn't think that was a good idea. But Vince is the man. He knows better than anybody else, I assume, but he figured that wasn't a moneymaker. Where I know for a fact that would have been a moneymaker, especially between Sting and Undertaker and those polarizing characters. Man, that would have been awesome to see. Awesome to see. But we would never see that. That's out here in the what if vault category on what would happen if this person faced this person. But we will no longer see that. So, unfortunately, that's what it is. However, though, it's a very interesting dynamic here with AEW. He may be in a match or two, maybe in like a six-man tag or tag match. And I know some fans are out there like saying, oh, man, why you got this 61-year-old dude out here coming out here? You taking someone's spot? Listen, you got to understand wrestling here. Like, look at what AEW has done in the past year. Cody has done things like in a long drawn out storyline, especially with Darby Allin. He had matches with Darby Allin where they fight to a draw. There was no definitive winner. Then finally, Darby Allin wins the TNT Championship. So you had Cody face Chris Jericho for the AEW World Title, where if Cody would have lost, he can never challenge for the World Title. That holds true. Chris Jericho beat Cody Rhodes, and he can never challenge for the world championship ever again. Unless the world champion actually issue an open challenge to Cody to get the world, you know, to fight for the world championship. Other than that, he held true to his word. Now, you bring in the TNT championship. Cody wins that. Okay, fans are a little upset about that, but you gotta think about it. Cody is the figurehead, right? So he is a two-time TNT champion, which is like basically equivalent of the TV title, but you defend that every week, or you present that to the crowd every week, and you have people fight for that title, and making that title more and more important. You have him lose a title and regain the title, have him have feuds with people that have notable wrestlers. Then finally, you lose a title to an up-and-coming young star where the title is already now relevant, already important. Now you put this important title on Darby Allin, which you can look at that title as a precursor to a challenge for the world title somewhere down the road. Genius. Genius stuff. Now, this stuff has been brewing for a year. So you have this guy gain popularity over the course of a year, on and on and on and on and on. And a lot of people like want to clamor in for Kenny Omega. So that also was a slow burn in itself, because Kenny, you know, was challenging for the world title of a number one contendership and lost last year. He lost against John Moxley. John Moxley is the second world champion, and he is 22-0 up until that point, making that title more and more and more prestigious and more important. Because, yeah, you said, oh, you got a former WWE guy. No, you got a former wrestler, because before he was a WWE guy, he was John Moxley. Before he was Dean Ambrose, he was John Moxley. That's what the fans know. That's what the fans know. So going through that, you know, then you have him lose against Kenny Omega, which a lot of people wanted Kenny Omega to be the world champion from a fan standpoint, because when you look at professional wrestling and who is one of the top tier guys, Kenny Omega is one of those individuals. So you have him as the world champion. You have Darby Allin as the TNT champion. Then now you compound that and you add Sting into the mix. Sting did the slow walk. AEW Dynamite had the highest rating in the past year with 913,000 viewers. I was hoping it was going to break a million. Then he stares at the past. He stares at Arn Anderson. Then he stares at the present. He stares at Cody Rhodes. And then he gives a long stare to Darby Allin, giving him the nod, giving him the rub, saying Darby Allin is the guy. He is the future of AEW. And that was AEW is all about. They are the future in... They are pushing young talent to be the best. They are getting out of their way. So you're not seeing Sting challenge for the world title or anything like that. This is young talent bringing, you know, professional wrestling to the forefront and without a script, doing what they think professional wrestling actually needs to flourish. That's why I love and respect AEW. NXT is the same way. It is a little bit more scripted. They don't really have the handcuffs off them per se, but it is an equivalent to AEW. And now we're going to see what Sting has to say on AEW Dynamite on Wednesday. And Alter BC says, Steve Borden 2024. Hey, I'm a huge Sting fan. I know I'm a little partial to Sting, but hey, it is what it is. Shout out to AEW for keeping that under wraps for Sting to actually show up now. But now, we're going to jump into some more news. And according to IGN, the Mysterious Square Enix game Project Athea will be a PS5 console exclusive for at least 2 years. A new trailer has revealed. A new and upcoming games trailer was posted to the official PlayStation YouTube account, which shows footage from PS5's 2021 lineup, including games like Deathloop, Ratchet & Clank, Rift Apart, Horizon Forbidden West, and Project Athea appears briefly, and a tag underneath the footage gives us some more details about the game's Sony exclusivity deal. Project Athea will also be available on PC, but it won't be available on other consoles like the Xbox family or devices for at least 24 months after release date. This means intrigued Xbox fans will have to wait for at least 2 years to play the game outside of the PlayStation 5 or PC ecosystem. Back in September, Project Athea developer Luminous Productions gave a showcase of the tech powering the game, known as Luminous Engine. You can check it out if the world editor video, and according to IGN.com. Beyond that, we know very little about the game aside from the fact that it is being written by Rogue One's Gary Whitta and a crack team of A-list writers. So Project Athea for PS5 will be an exclusive for the next 2 years. Now, also, of course, you know, Cyberpunk 2077 is going to be released on December the 10th. If you go on YouTube, you can actually see the IGN review of Cyberpunk 2077, but the actual PC footage was not, you know, presented in the YouTube video. It just shows like recycled footage from the game or whatever the case may be because of licensing and all the other stuff. But IGN is actually going to re-release the review with their actual gameplay. But one of the things is there's widespread reports of bugs. A CD Projekt Red employee has said that Cyberpunk 2077 will be a different game with the upcoming console update. CD Projekt has also confirmed that the PC version's Day Zero patch includes some but not all of the launch version's fixes. Answering fan questions on Twitter after many reviews, IGN pointed out that the game suffered from numerous distracting bugs. CDPR's Fabian Dola explained that a bunch of the issues reviewers encountered and reported have been fixed already, and some more are part of the update. Now, asked if the Xbox One X version of the game would benefit from an update, Dola replied, "It is a different game with console update, yes." IGN reviewed the game on PC with a substantial Day Zero patch installed, but still encountered a variety of bugs in a statement of PC Gamer. CDPR spokesperson explained that that update contains some but not all of the patch and fixes people will experience when the game launches. This tallies with earlier tweets from Dola, which seemed to confirm that the game will receive further launch, a further launch patch. So those of us that are going to get Cyberpunk 2077, myself included, be sure to actually see the actual day one patch. Now, Cyberpunk 2077 has been delayed on and on and on, but the final delivery date is December the 10th. It is a cyberpunk-esque game, and it boasts at least 45 hours of gameplay, whereas who you interact with throughout the game dictates the ending of the game. So if you are getting along with one character, the other side characters are NPCs, they're going to look at you differently or feel some sort of way about the person that you befriended or the person that you made an enemy out of, which is very unique. I haven't seen that. I don't think I ever seen that in a RPG. So Cyberpunk 2077 will boast that. According to IGN, so definitely need to check that out. Top Gun says he's getting it after work on Thursday. I am with you 110%, bro. But lately I have been getting back on Call of Duty, you know, with Warzone. I've been getting the CR56 AMAX, maxing that bad boy out, and it does some serious damage out there. So I'll be hopping back on Call of Duty. But I will tell you this, Geek Corner, once I get Cyberpunk 2077, I will be streaming that gameplay for you guys. I know it's been a while since I streamed a game or two, but I will be streaming Cyberpunk 2077 once it gets released on the 10th. So be on the lookout for that. Top Gun says, where Detroit at today? Detroit is actually on assignment. She will be with us tomorrow morning as well as Thursday and Friday. We will be getting back together. So there's been some people being upset here about the latest announcement about HBO Max releasing Warner Brothers 2021 movies on the streaming service. So James Gunn in particular is unhappy with Warner Brothers' decision to move its movies to HBO Max, for which he was reportedly offered unsatisfactory compensation. James Gunn, director of The Suicide Squad, is reportedly very unhappy with Warner Brothers' decision to put the film on HBO Max. Warner Brothers will be putting all 17 of their 2021 films on HBO Max and in theaters on the same day. The films will remain on the platform for a month at no additional charge to subscribers. Gunn's film is one of the studio's major releases for the next year, part of a roster that includes other blockbusters like Dune and The Matrix 4. The Suicide Squad is a follow-up to David Ayer's 2016 film. It's both a sequel and a revival after the original film was received poorly by critics. Still, 2016 Suicide Squad made a killing at the box office, and Gunn's involvement is an exciting prospect for the future of the franchise. As part of the DCEU, the Suicide Squad is an important stepping stone in the studio's upcoming slate of DC films as they attempt to fashion together a successful comic book movie multiverse. With many in the industry rattled by Warner Brothers' move, many are beginning to speak out. According to THR, Gunn himself is upset by the move. The director, who is normally the platform agnostic, according to sources, is upset with the move, both for being blindsided and for the solutions they offered. Sources say the studio offered them a lackluster compensation model. Participants receive money on the back end. So Gunn's dissatisfaction is likely bolstered by the fact that Gal Gadot and Patty Jenkins are receiving $10 million paydays for their release of Wonder Woman. Because as you know, Wonder Woman 84 is going to be released on Christmas Day on HBO Max. So I'm very, very excited to see that. So there's a good bit of people that are actually generally upset with the Warner Brothers 2021 movies being released. Now, of course, you know, COVID-19 is a huge part of that, and that is the reason why they're moving them to streaming services. Not many people, if any, are going to movie theaters to actually watch these said movies because of COVID scares. And you already know from Election Day, you know, after Election Day, you know, people was coming together in large groups, which caused a surge in that, in my opinion. And now some states or some counties are back on lockdown as far as trying to get this pandemic under control. So Talkus asked, what you think about the COVID movie coming out? I had no clue there was a COVID movie coming out. I have seen other shows that incorporated COVID in their shows, in their episodes, like Grey's Anatomy. There's a show with Simone Missick. The name escapes me right now. It's on CBS. So that is actually being put in the forefront. Now, I got a little bit of news for you guys. I found out, I didn't really find out yesterday because I already had an idea about this already. How many of you guys in the Geek Corner are fans of Voltron back in the day? Defender of the Universe. As you know, the remake for Voltron was on Netflix by DreamWorks. And it got a lot of good reviews on that. It's very, very good. Some people didn't like the representation from the last season, saying it was a little bit rushed or whatever the case may be. But overall, it was a good show. However, what you watched back in the day, the Voltron that you watched back in the day, is not the original story. The original story is actually called Go Lion. You can find that on Crunchyroll. Go Lion is the uncut version of Voltron. And we talking about killings, stabbings, decapitations. It's pretty violent and it's pretty dark. Basically, with that, not even with the characters, they got different names. Instead of Allura, you have Altea, or the Alteans, or whatever the case may be. And instead of Roe Beast, you got Death, like Death Beast. And the pilots actually came from Earth. They were actually enslaved. And with these slaves, they fight the Death Beast. And the Death Beast gain rank by how many heads they collect, literally. How many decapitations or how many killings that they have. And from there, Zarkon actually gets the Death Beast to come attack, you know, Altea, the planet, and then, of course, Go Lion, or Voltron, as y'all know, go out and attack. Now, if you really want to watch the original Go Lion, at least the first season, go out and check it out on Crunchyroll. It's called Go Lion, G-O-L-I-O-N. You guys definitely have to check that out. So, that is it for the news for today. Of course, you already know. Now let's talk about NXT War Games before we get out of here. NXT War Games was very, very good. I have seen it, and of course, whenever there's a takeover when it comes to NXT, it does not disappoint at all. It does not. I cannot remember a time there was a bad NXT takeover. There was some better than others, but it never was horrible and it never was bad. They went from good to great to awesome. And you was always entertained when it came to War Games. So they had two War Games matches, the male and the female. And Pat McAfee actually impressed a lot of people. He is good on the stick as far as the mic is concerned, and he's done his thing. Kyle O'Reilly is up and coming. As you know, you've seen him in the Indies. So keep your eye out for Kyle O'Reilly in the Undisputed Era. I think they're actually grooming him to be more of a singles guy. And bringing more people out to the forefront. So just keep your eye on the NXT. And shout out to those guys, those performers for War Games. Y'all did a phenomenal job. And be sure to tune in today, because TNA Impact is today. And no, who else going to show up but Kenny Omega, the new AEW World Champion? That is another thing before I get off. This is another thing that AEW is actually doing. They're doing something old school, which is cross-promotion. They also kept that under the wraps, where Don Callis was actually calling the match between Kenny Omega and Jon Moxley. He actually, I wouldn't say interfered in the match, but he more or less was a distraction in a way. And Kenny Omega ended up being the AEW World Champion. And they thought Don Callis misspoke. We'll see next Tuesday night. And then the interviewer was like, hey, AEW's on Wednesday. He said, no, you will see him on Impact on Tuesday night. You can access it on Access TV. So they're doing cross promotions with Impact Wrestling. As you already know, they're doing cross promotions with NWA, where they had NWA women's title matches going on as well. So they are actually doing cross promotion from back in the day. Because back in the day, Starrcade used to do that. Starrcade used to have people from territories come together for Starrcade and just have the best of the best. So, which is funny, because now they interviewed Triple H about cross promotion, and he says he's down for that, and WWE is open for that as long as it benefits the WWE. So I can't see that actually happening, but I have foreseen that maybe AEW will get a partnership with New Japan Pro Wrestling because of the simple fact that Jon Moxley is the IWGP United States Champion in New Japan. So that's why I feel like Maxwell 3278 says you're thinking about the Jim Crockett Senior Memorial Cup, I believe. Yes. Yes, that's exactly what I'm thinking about. The Crockett Cup. The good old Crockett Cup, man. Those some good old wrestling right there. Man, that takes me back. So be on the lookout for AEW to have future partnerships with Impact Wrestling, NWA, and do not be surprised of a New Japan Pro Wrestling partnership, because that would be awesome to see. Now, I know you're putting the cart before the horse, but if you use that cross promotion and you put that up against WWE, WWE going to have some major issues. They need to get on the good foot like ASAP right now. But, I don't think AEW is actually worrying about the competition aspect of it. I think they just want to put on the best they can put on for the fans. Even Kenny Omega was being interviewed. He said there's a lot of people in the WWE he would like to go up against, like Kenny Omega, AJ Styles, Seth Rollins, AJ Styles, Adam Cole, you know, those guys. And he says he's open for that. So AEW is actually opening the doors. They're actually open for some cross promotion with WWE. If they're cool with that, that would be awesome to see. Maybe some NXT versus AEW type vibes. That would be pretty cool to see. But that's a long shot, people. That is definitely a long shot. But yeah, that's it for today. Do not forget to go get your apparel, because it is 30% off, guys. Go to tpublic.com. The link is right there in our description. And also, if you can't click on a link or copy that link, I will post it after I post this tape show today. Do not forget to subscribe to our magazine, Orange Phoenix Magazine, which is released on the first now of every month. The first of the month. So we got some more stuff coming at you. And do not forget to follow us at Orange Phoenix Media on Instagram, Orange17Phoenix on Twitter. Do not forget to follow us on our Facebook group page, Orange Phoenix Geek Corner. I actually asked for feedback from the Geek Corner. They would like more discussion posts and more top fives, less memes. But we'll see. And I am listening to you guys from the Geek Corner. So more discussion posts is on the way. So, again, today is Taco Tuesday, so go get your tacos. Go get your food, because I'm about to go do that.